Good Friday morning. It is the 4th of April, and this is Kathy coming to you with the Times Republic from Iroquois County. Starting with our Iroquois County election, I said the county voter turnout was at 25.22% on April 1st. The voter turnout of the 18,555 registered voters, only 4,679 turned out to vote. Results of the election are unofficial for 14 days, but I will read these to you anyway. Gilman, Mayor Rick Thiesfeld, 173 votes. Clerk Wendy M. Kraft, 170 votes. Alderperson Ward 1, Michael McGee, 56 votes. Alderperson Ward 2, no candidate. Alderperson Ward 3, John R. Smith, 68 votes. Ashcombe, Village President Mike R. Cotter, 75 votes. Paula G. Heideman, 155 votes. Clerk Donna K. Schmitz, 220 votes. Trustee Shannon Meyer, 187 votes. Angie Gray, 157 votes. And Mike Milkworth, 154 votes. For Beaverville, Village President Gary Martell, 31 votes. There was no candidate for clerk. Trustees, Catherine Hoover, 26 votes, Jamie Taylor, 26 votes, and Michael Garrett, 30 votes. I'm not sure what this next one is here. Danforth, Village President Jean Glenn, 57 votes, Greg Schroeder, 72 votes, Clerk Gerald Reichen, 114 votes, Trustees, Vicki Killis, 98 votes, Andrew Lindo, 87 votes, Wayne Dyken, 96 votes, and no candidate for an unexpired two-year term. Donovan, Village President Ken L. Ward, 21 votes. Ronald Williams II, 38 votes. Clerk Holly Ward Collins, 46 votes. Trustee Richard Conrad, 36 votes. And Mitch Arsenault, 34 votes. For Iroquois, Village President Joseph Vaughn, 28 votes. Clerk Edward Arnold, 28 votes. Treasurer Jacqueline Skurlock, 29 votes. Trustees Jerome Carter Jr., 27 votes. Don Lambert, 25 votes. And Randy Lucky, 26 votes. For Loda, Village President John Zaliker, 41 votes. Donald Patachik, 25 votes. Brianna Coffey, 19 votes. Teresa Reck, none. Clerk Sarah Casper, 66 votes. Trustee Carol Arsenault, 30 votes. Regina Patachik, 33 votes. Kathy Tittle, 50 votes. Amanda Lovelace, 36 votes. Randall Dudley, 34 votes. Trustee for an unexpired term, no candidate. Sandra Zaliker got 20 votes. Martinton, Village President Chad Nesselrod, 80 votes. Trustee, and that's not continued, so I can't tell you what it is. Oh, there it is. Sorry about that. Corey Butler as trustee, 71 votes. Roger Johandis, 58 votes. Logan Leno, 56 votes. Trustee for an unexpired term, Walter Gwaltney, 52 votes. And Dylan Walthier, 72 votes. For Milford, Village President Kevin Woodby, 155 votes. Trustee Corey Birch, 147 votes. Ernest McKay, the rest of that is not there. Buckley, Village President Evan Scott Shockley, 60 votes. Clerk J.C. Biggs, 69 votes. Trustee Keith Hart, 48 votes. Becky Wisenbarn, 58 votes, and Patricia Killian, 66 votes. For Shabance, Village President Jason Mathey, 121 votes. Trustee Philip Snyder, 98 votes, and Jennifer Dole, 97 votes. For Cisna Park, Village President Chad Verkler, 111 votes. For Clerk Valerie Daniel, 111 votes. For a Trustee Jacob Marquez, 98 votes, and Kyle Rust, 110 votes. For Clifton, Village President Randy Giggle, 138 votes. Jeffrey Hall, 231 votes. For Clerk Lisa Lukow, 330 votes. For Trustee Chad Ulsich, 259 votes. Paul Hess, 273 votes. And Sue Shafroth, 264 votes. For Crescent City, Village President Mark Rabby, 107 votes. For Onarga, Village President Shane Coulter, 104 votes. Clerk Yasima Elvira Solano, 111 votes. For Trustee Holly Zirkle, 100 votes. William Jeffrey Hollingsworth, 100 votes. Oscar Alfonso Camargo Barbosa, 91 votes. Papineau, Village President Myron Munyon, 22 votes. Clerk Stacey Charbonneau, 23 votes. Trustee Dale Emerson, 20 votes. Robert Jackson, 20 votes. And a two-year term, Jerry Weigless, 23 votes. For Sheldon, Visit Village President Leslie Banning, 130 votes. Lance Vaughn, 90 votes. Charles Bitten, 18 votes. For Clerk, Micheline Haskins, 175 votes. For Trustees, Barbara LaFoon, 132 votes. Nicole Harris, 170. Rebecca Leitner, 76. Jamie Matthew LaFoon, 139 votes. And for trustee for a two-year term, Joshua King, 177 votes. For Thawville, Village President Brenna Hildebrand, 26 votes. Clerk Stephanie Tetralt, 29 votes. Trustee Robert Lang, 29 votes. Sean Foss, 25 votes. And Rachel Zick, 26 votes. For Wellington, Village President Kenneth Case, 25 votes. For Trustee Brad Christie, Brad Christie, 15 votes. Robert Girth, 10 votes. And Woodland, for Village President Ricky Grossevner Sr., 36 votes. Clerk Stella Sear, 33 votes. Trustee Stephanie Edward, 34 votes. Kathy Edwards, 21 votes. And no candidate for the unexpired two-year term. Watseka election results include a new mayor. Voters went to the polls April 1st in Watseka and voted for mayoral aldermanic, clerk, treasurer, park district, and school board races. There will be some changes in Watseka City Council chambers. In the mayoral race, Benny Marcier received 514 votes and J. Scott Anderson received 309. For clerk, Amanda Hibbs received 728 votes. For treasurer, Glenda Hawkins Colson received 733 votes. For alderperson in Ward 1, Chris Meredith received 53 votes and Mark Garfield received 112. For alderperson in Ward 2, Peggy Cahoe received 36 votes, Charles DeWitt received 55 votes, and Thomas Jones received 50. For alderperson in Ward 3, Jenny DeLar received 81 votes and Jeff Peterson received 140. For alderperson Ward 4, Bridget Tobeck received 52 votes, Paula Williamson received 121 votes, and Nicholas Brault received 122 votes. For the Iroquois County Community Unit School District No. 9 Board of Education, Jill Johnson, 526 votes, Amy Daniels, 628, Eric Starkey, 648 votes, and Jill Eckerson, 540 votes. For Watseka Park District Commissioner to serve a full six-year term, no candidate. For Watseka Park District Commissioner to serve an unexpired two-year term, Sydney Ferris, 690 votes. For Watseka Park District Commissioner to serve an unexpired four-year term, Taylor Eads, 686 votes. Benefit game. 6th Annual Option CIL U of I Wheelchair Basketball Game, April 11th. The 6th Annual Option Center for Independent Living U of I Wheelchair Basketball Game will be April 11th. This year, the event will be in Adventure Commons in Bradley. Doors open at 5 and the game starts at 6. All proceeds from the event go to support Option CIL in Iroquois and Kankakee counties. There are 4 teams that will participate this year, 2 emergency responders teams, one from Riverside, one from St. Mary's, a team from the NAACP, and a team called Kankakee County Community Outreach Leadership Team. This team is comprised of organizations that get together and share ideas in the area, said Option CFO Outreach Advocate Dan Brough. The teams will play 15-minute quarters against the U of I team. The evening will also include a chance to bid on several raffle prizes, take part in a 50-50, and purchase refreshments. Brough said the evening is always a fun one, with the main focus highlighting the many services that Options provides for people in the area. The money stays local to help with programs and services that Options offers to people with disabilities in Kankakee and Iroquois counties. Brough said it supplements our grant funds because our grants can't cover everything, he said. It's a fun-filled family event. It's only $5 to get in, with ages 5 and under getting in free, he said. It's a great educational awareness event to see how much more difficult it is to play basketball in a seated position. There will be some youth Cheerleaders also participating and cheering the teams on. The public is invited to attend, and Brow said the community support is always appreciated. Watseka Council approves 2025-26 liquor, cigarette, and gaming licenses. The Watseka City Council approved applications for liquor licenses, gaming, and cigarette licenses at the March 25th full council meeting. All were approved by the council 8-0. There are 88 gaming machines in the city. Gaming applications for 2025-26 are Traditions on Walnut Street, 6 Video Gaming Machines West Side on Oak Street, 6 Video Gaming Machines at Watseka Elks on 3rd Street, 6 Machines at Wash and Winnie's on Walnut, 6 Video Machines at the Porky Barn on Walnut, 5 Video Gaming Machines at the DAG doing business as the Vegas Cafe on West Lafayette Street, 6 Video Gaming Machines at SMR Mart on Walnut, 6 Video Gaming Machines at Shorty's on Walnut, 6 Video Gaming Machines, Omenetra Incorporated on Walnut, 6 Video Gaming Machines, Silo Pub on Walnut, 6 Video Gaming Machines at the TR Market on Walnut, 6 Video Gaming Machines at the Shell Gas Station on Walnut, and 6 Video Gaming Machines at the Sky Food Mart and Marathon Station, 6 Video Gaming Machines at Family Inn on Walnut, 5 Video Game Machines at Burkott's on Walnut, 6 Gaming Machines on Cigarette Licenses for 2025-26 are Omenetra, Scotchman's East on Walnut, SMR Mart, Scotchman's West on Walnut, Walmart on Walnut, Sky Food Market, Sky Food Mart and Marathon on Walnut, Casey's on Walnut, Dollar General on Walnut, Heritage on Walnut, TR Market on Walnut. There's one raffle license, which is the Watseka Elks Club on 3rd Street, and liquor licenses include Class A Premises Beer and Wine, sell beer at retail bottles, cans, or in draft, and shall entitle the licensee to sell wine at the retail for consumption on the premises. Limit 3. Monaco's Pizza, DAG, Vegas Gaming, Family Inn, Class A, shall authorize the retail sale of beer and wine only for consumption on premises and the retail sale of alcoholic liquor in packaged quantities for consumption off premises. Limit 6, Watseka Shell, Sky Food Mart, TR Market, Scotchman's West and Scotchman's East, and Burkott's. And, oh, there's a lot more to this having to do with different classes and what they can sell. And I don't know that you want to hear all of that. I would imagine you could look it up in the city. This article is Sheriff's Police Warn the Public of an Increase in Scams. The Iroquois County Sheriff's Office is warning the public about a dramatic increase in a variety of scams recently, most of which take place over the phone or via social media. According to information from the department, some of the most frequently reported scams include phone calls reporting that a loved one is in jail, that you have missed a court date or forgot to pay a fine, text messages reporting failure to pay missed bills, emails or pop-ups reporting that your computer has a virus, phone calls asking you to deposit money into cryptocurrency, ATMs or purchase gift cards, long-distance or international social media-related relationships with unknown individuals. To avoid being the victim of a scam, consider the following actions. Do not give banking or personal identifying information out over the phone. Do not send illicit photographs. Refrain from transferring currency to unknown or unverified sources. Recognize persistent, aggressive, or threatening demands and/or directions to provide misleading information to family members, banks, or any other individual that may question your actions. Most importantly, contact the police if you have questions or concerns. Be aware that many of these scams result in zero retribution for victims and often involve the loss of several thousands of dollars, even entire life savings. Oftentimes, there's little or nothing that can be done by the police in terms of an investigation. Keep in mind, these are just a few examples of scams being reported. The methods of those responsible are ever-changing. Again, if you are unsure or if something seems off, hang up the phone and call the police before proceeding further. Let me do our obituaries for today, and I'll start with Frederick Tomlinson Miller. Frederick Tomlinson Miller, 81, of Kentland, Indiana, passed away March 24th of 2025. A graveside service will be announced at a later date on the funeral home website. The graveside will be at Fairlawn Cemetery in Kentland. The arrangements entrusted to Gert Swindler and Keller Funeral Home, Brook Chapel, 129 East Main Street in Brook, Indiana. The only other obituary is for John C. Lyon. John C. Lyon, age 79, of Quincy, formerly of Lake Bluff, Illinois, died on Tuesday, April 1st at 5:02 a.m. in his home. Visitation will be 4 to 7 p.m. on Monday, April 7th at Hanson Spear Funeral Home. Services will be Tuesday, April 8th, 2025 at 10 a.m. at Hanson Spear Funeral Home, with Pastor Nat Keelan officiating. His burial will be at Quincy Memorial Park in Quincy, Illinois. Memorials, Samaritan's Purse, memorial donations may be made online at https://memorials.hanspear.com. Hanson Spear Funeral Directors are in charge of arrangements. I will come back and do some police reports if we have time. For news, Ford Iroquois 4-H Foundation accepting scholarship applications. Ford Iroquois 4-H Foundation has announced the availability of 2025 high school 4-H senior scholarships offering up to $1,000 each thanks to the support from their annual auction. All graduating 4-H seniors from Ford and Iroquois counties have received an email with the scholarship application link, which is also accessible through school counselors. Applications are due by April the 18th. Cisna Park Volleyball Team to host Trivia Night. The Cisna Park Volleyball Team will host their third annual Trivia Night on Saturday, April 12th. Team registration begins at 6 p.m. and the trivia will start promptly at 6:30 p.m. The event will take place at the Cisna Park High School, according to information from the team. Entry fee is $150 per team, with up to 10 people on a team. Any team with a CPCI or a CPCI volleyball player or coach alumni will earn one bonus point. Teams are welcome to bring their own food and drinks, non-alcoholic, along with a table. A table and chairs for trivia will be provided. Contact Nicole Trumbull at ndtrumbull@gmail.com, or you can call or text 815-383-1192 to register your team. Join us for an evening of fun to test your trivia knowledge. Support groups offered in Bourbonnais. All caregivers are invited to attend the Caregiver Support Group from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. April 9th at the Uplifted Care Community Grief Center in Bourbonnais. Those who are a family caregiver know that the role comes with a unique mix of joy and heartache, fulfillment and stress, according to information provided. Uplifted Care understands the ups and downs of caregiving and offers the Caregiver Support Group, designed to provide support, understanding, and expert advice each month. This month's speaker is Alicia Kleinert, owner of MCA Senior Adult Daycare Center in Kankakee. As a caregiver, it often becomes overwhelming to care for a loved one who is aging and or living with a chronic illness. With the rising costs of health care, assisted living, and skilled nursing, a lower cost option is needed to provide an additional option for families and caregivers who may be having a hard time keeping up with their loved one's care and safety. Seeing a need in the community for our senior population, Alicia founded the nonprofit organization MCA Senior Adult Day Center in 2023 with the goal of providing exceptional senior citizen services to the local community. We hope you will join us to hear the comprehensive range of services that MCA offers. Light lunch refreshments will be served. To ensure adequate materials and are prepared, please RSVP for this event by calling 815-939-4141. I'll say that again. 815-939-4141. All women's veterans are welcome to attend the Williams Vet to Vet Cafe from 10 a.m. noon, April 9th. Or 10 a.m. to noon, April 9th. Women will have the opportunity to meet other women veterans, share stories, access resources, and make new connections. Coffee and light snacks are provided. Remembering Our Beloved Pet workshop will be from 10 to 11:30 a.m. April 19th at the Uplifted Care Community Grief Center in Bourbonnais. Pets truly become members of the family, and when we lose them, that loss leaves a void that is often difficult to heal. This interactive grief workshop will help address those feelings of loss and connect you with others experiencing similar emotions. The group will also be making a craft that will help give attendees a visible keepsake to help honor their beloved friend. All materials and refreshments will be provided. To register for this free grief workshop or for more information on all of our grief support services, please call our office today at 815-939-4141. The Uplifted Care Community Grief Center offers other support groups. All services are completely free of charge. Grief support groups are considered weekly unless noted below. Mondays, Loss of a Parent, 10 a.m. Finding Your New Normal, 10 a.m. Grief Walk and Talk, 12 p.m. Tuesdays, Women's Talk and Tea at 10. Spousal Loss, 4 p.m. Wednesdays, Moving Through Grief Yoga, 10 a.m. the third Wednesday of each month. Child Loss, 4 p.m. the first and third Wednesday of each month. Thursdays, the Grief Book Club, fourth Thursday each month. Saturdays, Kids Hour, 12 p.m., third Saturday of the month, January, February, April, May, June, July, and August, and November. To register for the free support group or for more information on all of our grief support services, please call 815-939-4141. Watseka Public Library is getting ready for April Reading Challenge. Save the date. Get whisked away to Neverland on Saturday, April 26th at Pirates vs. Fairies Family Fun Day. The Pirates and the Fairies will compete to see which group can win your heart. Will you visit the Fairies in Pixie Hollow or sail the seven seas with the Pirates? Play games, participate in fun activities, and win prizes. We can't wait to see you there. It would be foolish to not sign up for April Fool and Reading Challenge. Earn points from reading and participating in activities throughout the month of April. Your points will earn you tickets to enter into the prize drawing. The challenge will end at midnight on April 30th. Stop in and check out the Teen Bulletin Board at the YA Room. We have a monthly teen craft and information about our upcoming events like Teen Advisory Board and Dungeons & Dragons. The April craft is rustic button bracelets you can make in the library or take home. Our newest story walk book is Fairies of the Forest. Head over to Lakeview Park to read this story. All drop-in and take-home crafts are available while supplies last. The week of March 31st, Kids Drop-In Craft. The Lorax Tuesday, April 1st, April Fooling Reading Challenge begins Tuesday, April 1st. Preschool Storytime Pirates is at 10 a.m. Wednesday, April 2nd, Preschool Storytime Pirates. 10 a.m. week of April 7th, Kids Drop-In Craft. Pirate Clothespin Tuesday, April 8th. Preschool Storytime Fairies, 10 a.m. on Wednesday, April 9th, Preschool Storytime Fairies. April 10th, book sale, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday, April 10th, Caregiver Support Group, 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Friday. April 11th, book sale, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, April 12th, a book sale, 9 to 12 p.m. Week of April 14th, Kids Drop-In Craft, Fairy Tuesday. April 15th, Preschool Storytime Chicken, 10 a.m. Wednesday, and April 16th, Preschool Storytime Chicken, 10 a.m. Saturday. April 19th, Teen Advisory Board Meeting. And that's at 10 a.m. Comets defeat the Cardinals in boys varsity baseball action April 1st. Clifton Central Varsity Comets defeated St. Anne Varsity Cardinals 1-0 in a baseball action April 1st. Comets coach Troy Meyer said both teams were strong on the bump on Tuesday. Blake Chandler started the game for Clifton Central and recorded 21 outs. The Comets didn't take the lead until later in the game. The game was tied at 0 in the top of the 6th when a passed ball scored one run. Chandler earned the win for the Comets. The righty allowed 4 hits and 0 runs over 7 innings, striking out 8 and walking 1. Carter Ponton took the loss of St. Anne Varsity Cardinals. The righty went 7 innings, surrounding 1 run, 0 earned, on 4 hits, striking out 9 and walking none. Derek Meyer, Braden Meets, Mason Mitchell, and Rocco Trevino each collected 1 hit for the Comets. Historians defend the Smithsonian, which is under attack in Washington. The American Historical Association has released a statement in support of the Smithsonian Institution, the target of the recent executive order restoring truth and sanity to American history. This order egregiously misrepresents the work of the Smithsonian Institution and completely misconstrues the nature of historical work. The Smithsonian is among the premier research institutions in the world, widely known for the integrity of its scholarship, which is careful and based on historical and scientific evidence. The accusation in the White House fact sheet accompanying the executive order claims that Smithsonian museums are displaying improper, divisive, or anti-American ideology. This is simply untrue. It misrepresents the work of those museums and the public's engagement with their collections and exhibits. The accusation in the White House fact sheet accompanying the executive order claims that Smithsonian museums are displaying improper, divisive, or anti-American ideology. This is simply untrue, the association claims. It misrepresents the work of those museums and the public's engagement with their collections and exhibits. It also completely misconstrues the nature of historical work. Historians explore the past to understand how our nation has evolved. We draw on a wide range of sources, which helps us to understand history from different angles of vision. Our goal is neither criticism nor celebration. It is to understand, to increase our knowledge of in the past in ways that can help Americans shape the future. The stories that have shaped our past include not only elements that make us proud, but also aspects that make us acutely aware of tragedies in our nation's history. No person, no nation is perfect, and we should all, as individuals and as nations, learn from our imperfections. The Smithsonian's museums collect and preserve the past of all Americans and encompass the entirety of our nation's history. Visitors explore exhibits and collections in which they can find themselves, their families, their communities, and their nation represented. They encounter both our achievements and the painful moments of our rich and complicated past. Patriotic history celebrates our nation's many great achievements, the association added. It helps us grapple with the less grand and more painful parts of our history. Both are part of a shared past that is fundamentally American. We learn from the past to inform how we can best shape our future. By providing a history with integrity, necessary to enable all Americans to be all they can possibly be, the Smithsonian is fulfilling its duty to all of us. Founded in 1884 and incorporated by Congress in 1889 for the promotion of historical studies, the American Historical Association provides leadership for the discipline and promotes the critical role of historical thinking in public life. The association defends academic freedom, develops professional standards, supports innovative scholarship and teaching, and helps to sustain and enhance the work of historians. As the biggest member association of professional historians in the world, nearly 11,000 members, the AHA serves historians in a wide variety of professions and represents every historical era and geographical area. And under agriculture, lab-grade, food-grade film wins soybean innovation competition, new food track added from West Lafayette. A self-adhesive lab-grade and food-grade film called Soy Shield earned the $20,000 grand prize in the 31st Annual Student Soybean Innovation Competition during the awards ceremony on Wednesday evening at Purdue Memorial Union in West Lafayette, Indiana. This year's event added a new soy-based food innovation track, which was won by a high-protein snack called Soy Straws, according to information from the competition. The Student Soybean Innovation Competition is in partnership between the Indiana Soybean Alliance and Purdue University. ISA awarded more than $35,000 to four teams that created new products in the industry track. In the soy-based food track, five teams earned a total of $11,000. To win these competitions, Purdue University students must develop innovative applications for soybeans. More than 1,000 students completed the competition through the two tracks comprised of 31 teams. The goal of the competition is to highlight the versatility of soybeans while addressing a need in agriculture or the general public, said ISA Board Chair Denise Scarborough, a farmer from La Crosse, Indiana. ISA looks forward to working with Purdue students each year and seeing what unique products they create. The products made by these students can expand opportunities and markets for all Indiana soybean growers. We are excited about Soy Shield and Soy Straws. And that's all we have time for today. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the Iroquois County Times-Republic. This is Kathy wishing you a good weekend on April the 4th.